Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are back with another BBB Champions League special supported by Pepsi Max, and I'm joined by the legend Emma Byrne. How are we?
Really good. Yeah. Delighted to be back here. Delighted to be talking about these games and the next games that are coming up.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll go straight into it. We'll start with Wednesday night's games. And the pick of the four games for me was the Lyon-Benfica game. It was the most exciting, in my opinion, over, you know, the four games that were there. And it was the game that I thought, can Benfica upset the uppercut? And I really thought they might be able to do that. They didn't on the day. They lost, you know, 4-1 on the night. But actually, I thought that opening 45 minutes, I don't know if you agree, I thought they were very good. I thought Benfica, you know.
So good.
Yeah.
They're so good. They're, for me, the surprise of the tournament. And I think, well, I'm not going to be surprised by anyone else. I thought they were excellent. Mm. And, you know, the second leg can be a little bit drawn out, can be a little bit of a dead game. But I thought Benfica brought it. I thought they were excellent. They didn't change how they played throughout the tournament. And you know, if you look at the stats, actually, they had more possession than Lyon, which yeah. totally makes sense because they're a footballing team. And I think I said it last time, didn't I? If they can keep the core group together and add a couple of more players, they're definitely going to be a team to be looking out for.
Well, they would have gained so much experience from getting this far in the competition. But you're right. I thought, and for me, I think over the two legs, I mean, you know, that Kike, that's how you pronounce it, the centre mid for Benfica, the way she dictated play against, you know, these top teams, I think she certainly is a key player that, and I know she's a little bit older, so I'm sure she'll be a player that they're probably be able to keep a hold of moving forward. But what did you make of her over the two legs? I mean, her assist for the assist, for the goal. I mean, that pass. Just split the Lyon defence. I mean, they went a goal down. Cascarino's goal. I mean, it was a mistake from the goalkeeper. Cascarino puts in the goal and they go 1-0 up. And I thought, this is it. And then they pull themselves back into the game and they go in at the half 1-1. But I thought Kike was really impactful, you know, in trying to turn the tie.
She came on our radar in major tournaments like the one just gone in the World Cup. I thought she was excellent. And she just plays that position, that number 10. She's probably one of the best number 10s in the business at the moment. I will say that.
Yeah.
And she just, I think in her interview, she said she just plays naturally. She just basically does what she wants, which might not be a great thing to say for a big club that want to come in for. But you can see that she enjoys it. She just roams. She's got so much skill and she's just a natural footballer. And as you said, like she can also pull those passes off, which was just incredible. Well, great, great player. But yeah, not a kid.
No, she's not a kid. But you're right. I think the way in which she plays with that freedom, and that word gets thrown out, you know, so often we hear, you know, we like to see players play with freedom. You just heard her say, you mentioned there, she said she just does what she wants. She does what she wants within reason, within the structure of how Benfica play. But she's somebody that her teammates try and get on the ball in key areas to try and impact the game. And I thought she had a very good game, obviously given the result. But one player for Lyon that we have to talk about, been out of, you know, with injury for a long time, obviously missed the World Cup with France, Cascarino. Her return has been phenomenal. And down that left-hand side, I don't know what you thought of it. I mean, the way she took the first goal, I know it was an open goal because the keeper made a mistake, but to put that away anyway was difficult. Yeah. But the second goal for me, the way that she just took it off the left-hand side, drove in field. It was like, what annoyed me about Benfica, they backed off. The more they backed off, it just opened up the goal for her. And a strike from distance, I thought it was an unbelievable finish.
Yeah, but she's her so impact. Good. She's coming into form, which is not great for neither you nor me going into these qualifiers. But she's excellent. Yeah, like when she first started, I remember when she first came on the scene. It's like that now, actually. She's at that level because she did dip a little bit. She was excellent, you know, just so quick. And I was wondering if she was going to ever really get back to that level. And she has. She's these last couple of games, Champions League games, she's just been incredible. She's so good carrying the ball. Really difficult because she goes left, right. She likes to cut in a lot. I will say that. So I would be looking out for that if I were to play them. but you can't give her that space and time. You see what she can do, but she's just excellent. She's a really difficult player to pick up.
And I feel like Leon have found their front three. I mean, Lasomme for a long time, you know, we've known her over the years to be the main player there at Leon. And obviously when she went in WSL and come back, she wasn't really in this Leon team. Now she's found her place back in it, and Diani on the right-hand side. That front three for any, you know, defence, you know, it's frightening, right?
I just think, you know, with Lasomme, I think she's a great player, but she drops in. She's not the type of player that will run in behind, or you certainly wouldn't be that worried about her running in behind. But now you've got Diani there as well, who's just, I mean, talk about players hitting form. She's been incredible.
She has.
She's probably the most dangerous player. You just do not want to play against her. And I think with her and Cascarino, Lasomme can afford to drop in and with the build-up play, which she's excellent at. And then those players are just going to bomb on. So you can't afford to push up with her.
Yeah.
You have to stay back for the space behind. And yeah, I think you're right. I think they've found just a really nice connection there. But then you've also got players coming off the bench and players that still have to come into this squad, like Hegerberg. Like, it's frightening.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're talking about this Leon team without Hegerberg being in it, obviously due to injury, you're right, it's frightening moving into that semi-final. Yeah. And obviously, you know, if she's back for that or the final, they look like a team that potentially, if you're looking, they face PSG in the semi-final.
Yeah.
So two French teams were guaranteed a French team in the final at this year's final. But as you said there, I think this Lyon team, if you look at their squad depth,
would
be too strong for PSG. Would you agree?
I do agree with that. I think this is their time again. You know, they haven't been consistent in the Champions League particularly. They haven't been consistent in the league either. I mean, they dropped points in the domestic cup to Fury, and then I think they beat them the next week. They were like, here, we're not having this, and just beat them like 4-1 or something like that. I do think they're coming into form. I think they are the team to look out for. I think they're going to beat PSG, just simply because they're just absolute powerhouses, and they're all hitting form at the right time. I will say, though, they do have a couple of weaknesses, but I'm not sure if this is going to be the team that's going to go forward, because you still have players on the bench that I believe should be in, like Wendy Renard.
Yeah, that's a strange one, isn't it?
In. I think Gilles has been playing very well, and she's very dangerous in set pieces, but just looking at her positionally, I think she gets caught out positionally, and I think it's a weakness in their defence, and I'm not sure she's going to be there for the PSG game.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. As you said there, their captain Menard, it's been phenomenal for them. You know, how many champions? I think it's 7 Champions Leagues.
Oh, Leon, sick of her. Sick looking at her.
Leon have won. and I think, you know, we'll move on to Chelsea in a minute. But when you talk about squad depth, I think when it comes to this stage of the league and the Champions League, you need to use, you know, you need to be able to use the whole squad. And I think that out of the PSG and Leon, I actually think their squad depth, Leon, is far stronger. But they'll be facing PSG, as we mentioned there, in the semi-final, one that I really look forward to. But we'll move on to Chelsea. They went into the game 3-0 up against Ajax. They take it back to Stamford Bridge. For me, that game, I mean, the good thing for Chelsea, because they've got a Continental Cup final coming up at the weekend, they were able to make 6 changes.
Yeah.
And they also have injuries. So to be able to make 6 changes with the injuries that they have, and then they obviously drew that game 1-1. It wasn't, you know, a fantastic game. It wasn't the most exciting of games. But the most disappointing thing for me, yes, Ajax were 3-0 down, but I didn't feel like until the second half and probably the last 20 minutes, did they really give themselves any sort of chance of a fight back. I don't know what your thoughts were on that game.
No, I'd agree with you. I think they could have went for a bit more. I thought they were good, though. I think they're, again, like Benfica, a team that surprised me a little bit. Just going forward, they're very strong going forward. They've got some really good players in there. I think they'll be disappointed with the result, which I didn't think I was going to be saying. I think they're the ones that'll be more disappointed with that draw, because I think towards the end they were going for it. I mean, it is about the changes for Chelsea, isn't it? Because, as you said, all those changes, you've got really key players in there. Lauren James, Nuskin, for example, the two of them, you know, they've just been incredible together. And then also we can talk about the goalkeeper, because I think Musovic
a mistake.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong, she made the mistake for the goal. I think you're a goalkeeper. You can probably elaborate a little bit more. For me, it was too soft. That can't be the goal that Ajax scored. That should never have gone in. But she did redeem herself, because she pulled off 2 or 3 world class saves, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that probably kept them in the tie. There were some great chances from Ajax.
The thing about Champions League is, though, if you make a mistake, you're going to get punished, and maybe not at this level and against Ajax. But if you're playing any other team from this stage on, if you make a mistake, you're going to get punished and it's very difficult to recover from. And those are the standards at this stage. You can't afford to make a mistake. And even though she made two good saves after that, you can't afford to make that one save. And well, I don't think she's going to be playing anyway. I think Hannah Hampton's going to come in. But that is the level.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it could have been costly. It wasn't for Chelsea. But I think
it's that... it's not only that far, though. If you make a mistake, and early on she made a mistake and she came out to clear it wasn't punished. It's the mindset. I keep talking about mindset when you're playing at this level. You have to get in the flow. You have to beat them mentally first.
But how difficult is that for a goalkeeper, right? So she played pretty much most of last season, certainly towards the back end of last season, which was a surprise because everybody thought Berger would be their number one. She obviously took that spot last year and then she started there this year. And then obviously Hannah Hampton, since the new year, has come in and took that spot. How difficult is it for a keeper and the mentality to switch back on and know that you've got to be consistent, certainly at this level? Because, incredibly, as you mentioned, it's Champions League.
It's extremely difficult. And at Chelsea, they have, you know, they have this attitude of there's no particular starter. You have to work hard. And if you're working hard and you're doing well, you'll start. So it's not even a case, my position is on the bench and I'm going to come in when I come in. It's like they're working for the number one spot.
Yeah.
Hannah Hampton is number one. She's the all-round keeper. Musovic, shot stopping is quite good, but not great with her feet.
Okay.
And then Berger's very good. Well, similar. She's a good shot stopper as well. But Hannah Hampton is your answer. But the problem for me is if you make a mistake as a goalkeeper, it feeds into your team.
Yeah.
And you can see the team who've come out like, you know, big players. They look confident. One little mistake in Champions League, you shrink a little bit. Yeah. And that's when the other team can get on top. So you can't afford to do it.
One player that we can't move on without talking about, Erin Cuthbert, I thought her performance was unbelievable. I mean, talk about leading the team, driving the team with so many changes as well. Let's not forget Chelsea had made six changes. The way she just dominated the game in every area, with and without the ball, I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, she's had an incredible season. She is getting plaudits for it, though, finally, because she's had incredible seasons for a long time.
The level she plays at consistently, I think is really impressive.
Yeah, I think it all started actually last season for me when they played Barca away in that 1-1 draw in the Champions League. That's when I was like, Erin Cuthbert is an absolute jewel in this team. She's so important. And I think she's just kicked on from there. But it's these games that you need these players. These games are the ones that stick out in these games. And, you know, going into the next one against Barca, she's going to be huge. Really, really crucial.
And obviously Ramirez makes her first Champions League start for Chelsea and gets her goal. How important will she be moving forward into this Champions League semi-final? Because you just mentioned there that they're facing Barcelona in the semi-final. It's going to be a really difficult, you know, fixture for them. But how important is she going to be given the fact that they've got two key strikers injured? Will she play a part? Or does Emma think about that partnership that we've seen in Nuskin and Lauren James? Because neither of them started.
This is the question, isn't it? I don't think she can afford to change the James and Nuskin relationship there. I don't think you can afford to do that, especially against Arsenal and then the away leg in the Champions League there. But Ramirez, she knows Barca. She's played against them for years with Levante. She hasn't scored against them, mind. This could come into it. She hasn't scored against them in a very, very long time. So it depends on how the game's going. I think Emma will start with James and Nuskin. And I think if she needs somebody, like, this is the time to play Barca.
Yeah.
This is a great time to play them. And it is about their defence.
Yeah.
I think Nuskin and James can open up that a little bit more. But if you want someone in there to pin them back and to frighten the living chases out of them with the balls in behind, that's where she comes in. And it could be later on in the game.
Yeah, and we'll touch on that because we're going to do a little briefing on the Chelsea-Barcelona. But Chelsea faced Barcelona in the semi-final. They beat Bran on the night 3-1, 5-2 on aggregate. What did you make of that game? Because for me, watching it, that opening, what frustrates me with Barcelona, I love watching them with the ball. I think the rotation, I think the way they move the ball, how calm they are in tight areas, the way that they can open up teams. I love watching it. But it took 25 minutes for them to score a goal, and it was really great feet work from Bonmati on the edge of the box and, a beautiful finish. But they had chances before that I thought that at times they made the wrong decision. They took too many touches. They gave up shooting opportunities. And that's one thing with Barcelona, when I watch them, that really frustrates me.
Yeah, they tried to walk it into the goal, basically. Yeah, I mean, again, you talk about changes in this Barca team. It's not their, it wasn't their strongest team. Bruce, they brought on to give her minutes, but realistically, she's not a starter. And I think that made the flow a little bit stop and starty kind of type of thing. But I mean, that was a bad game for them, I thought, because of that. But you can't say anything about it, because they can change that in one day. That you can watch them play the weekend. When they played against Real Madrid, they beat them 3-0. It was just lovely flowing football. Graham Hansen, depends. Does she want to score?
I think she needs to score more. But I mean, her performance yesterday with the ball.
She's on fire.
I really, what a joy to watch. I mean, down that right-hand side.
She's angry.
Yeah. there's something in her at a minute.
Oh, yeah, she's angry. Comments, like,
after the game about the Chelsea.
There's like all this talk about Chelsea and, you know, felt they should have won. She's like, they said they should have won. I don't agree.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have won. We deserve to win, and we're going to win again, basically. I think Hansen is just a little bit tired of being looked over. She is a world-class player. She's a fantastic player, but it's difficult for her to perform at, you know, country level, because Norway have been playing so poorly. But you have to perform.
You have to perform
in the big tournaments. And this is the problem for Hansen. She doesn't, but she's absolutely excellent.
I thought she was.
And you know what?
Today.
She's been really a thorn in Chelsea's side when she's playing.
But yeah, I thought she was yesterday. I thought she was so good. What did you make of the midfield? Bomati, obviously we've seen Bateas come in, and then obviously Kira Walsh.
Interesting.
Go on.
It's not his free flowing. No.
It's not, is it? I felt that you could feel that from somebody watching. I was watching it. I was thinking something doesn't seem right in that midfield.
Don't think Alexia is going to get a place in that midfield in the Champions League. I think it's going to be Patri, Hiharo, Bonmati, and Kira Walsh. Mm. And I think they're going to struggle to put Alexia Putellas in that team, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. But didn't look free flowing with her in there. Free flowing. Something's different.
She's not back to her best yet. And they're not used to playing with her either. Like Bonmati and Alexia, they're playing a little bit better together now, but they just weren't connecting at all.
Why is that though? Like, you think two world-class players, which they both are, there has to be something more, that you can't get two players like that playing as well as they can together. Because you think, you know, when you have the best players in the world, which Barcelona have many of them, they're two players. If you were to look at the squad list, that you would want to fit in that starting 11 somewhere.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But for some reason, when they're together in there, each of them lose something of their qualities.
I think it's Bonmati that loses a little bit more, to be honest, rather than Alexia, because Aitana likes that free role. She likes to stay high in that kind of 10 role, but she will drop off to get the ball if Barca are struggling to get out. But she likes to stay high. Alexia at the minute is playing a bit higher. There's just, for me, it's difficult to fit them both in, because Alexia will allow that space.
Yeah.
She will allow, Bonmati will allow Alexia to have that space. And when Alexia's not there, Bonmati will drift into like that kind of space in that left-hand side room. And I just think she's a bit restricted, Bonmati, when Alexia's on the pitch. But more than that, Guijarro is a much better holding midfielder with Kira. Her and Kira work really, really well together. And Guijarro is excellent at connecting the midfield to the the strikers.
I agree.
So it's not about Bonmati and Alexia. For me, it's about Alexia or Guijarro.
Yeah, because I would say, I mean, I don't know if you agree, but I feel like when it's those three in the midfield, I think we see less of Kira Walsh. I feel she's less impactful when you have Bonmati and Alexia ahead of her.
Kira is so happy to be ignored, to be quite honest, as she does a job that nobody will see. And she's very, I mean, it's just because we know how good she is. But if you didn't know Kira, you wouldn't really be talking about Kira. Yeah. But she's so good. Her movement and the role she plays is so important because she makes excellent movement for the others.
And you could see that. But But for me, I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed with Bran after the first leg, and we saw how frustrated they made Barcelona. Yeah. I actually thought they could have done a little bit more in the second leg. I didn't feel like they did that. I thought there was a lot more deeper. They had too many turnovers in play, and I think against a Barcelona team, certainly away from home, the amount of turnovers they had in central areas, you're going to get hurt. And I feel like for Bran, and I'm sure when Martin, and he looks back at the performance, he'll be disappointed with that, because they could have, we saw in the first leg, they could have hurt Barca a little bit in those transition moments. But when they got out into those midfield areas, there was a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, there was. I mean, I was expecting it, to be honest. Barca at home are different beasts, you know, and they're playing away on artificial turf. They wouldn't have been happy with that. They like their comforts as well. But I think just with speaking about Bran, you know, I thought they did well. They did okay, but Barca just pressed a lot better. They just pressed higher. They pushed their midfielders up. Bran enjoyed the counter-attacking play at home, and Barca was like, well, we're going to stop that.
Yeah.
We're going to push our midfielders up. We're not even going to allow them to play. In actual fact, you've seen the centre-backs, Engin and...
played in half, didn't they?
They were playing in Bran's half the whole time. So they weren't worried about that. Uh-huh. Where I think Bran should have played the ball in behind a little bit more, just to stretch it.
Yeah. And overplayed at times, right? And then obviously...
Yeah, because it worked for them at home. Yeah. But you have to change, you have to adapt. And you could see how high Barca were playing. And that ball has to go in. Just stick that player, the number 16, what's her name? Guapset?
Is that how you pronounce
just
it?
Play her in front.
Yeah.
Play that ball in behind.
I feel like she was in the game, but not in the game as much as we saw in the first leg.
They overloaded the midfield.
Yeah, they did. But that game finished 3-1, as I said, and 5-2 on aggregate. And then PSG against Hacken, they won 3-0 on the night, 5-1 on aggregate. And I don't know what your thoughts were on that, but for me, Hacken just didn't do enough. They just sat back, allowed PSG to dominate the game, and obviously the 3-0 victory in the end.
Yeah.
Could they have done more? Or was just PSG at home too strong?
Like, all respect to these teams that have gone in there. It is about the teams that are going to win and how they perform, not really against the opposition. And I think Hack and I think Bran were excellent, but I don't think the PSGs, the Barca's performed away. I think they were just like, let's do what we need to do and get out of here, and then we'll get them at home. And I think that's exactly what happened. I think PSG just went into another gear. I thought it was really difficult. And, you know, when they've got a player like, well, just look at the players.
Katoto and is it Chawinga? Is that how you pronounce it?
Chawinga.
And what do you make of their link-up play? Because I actually thought they were very good.
I think they're getting better.
Yeah.
I think Katoto is starting to get to her level. She's not there yet either.
Yeah.
Coming back from injury.
She gets her goal.
I think they're finding their feet a little bit, as in they're playing a little more games together. Mm. I think, again, maybe another couple of games we're going to see even better. But you know what? When you've got a player like Chawinga or De Mornay and that are extremely quick, extremely powerful, it's just, the game completely.
Completely.
You know, that you can't play a high line with those players, or Katoto or Diani.
Yeah.
You have to play a bit deeper, and that just allows your other players to play in front.
And Hacken tried to do that. They tried to be deeper, but I think in doing that, they wasn't never able to get out.
You'll have one game that you can do that, and they did it at home.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to play like that again a week later and play at that level. You know, it's crazy. But we're expecting the home teams this week to be better.
Well, the four teams that go through to the semi-final is Lyon will face PSG and Chelsea will face Barcelona. So they're tasty semi-final lineups, and I'm really looking forward to them. Certainly Chelsea-Barcelona at Stamford Bridge. So let's just talk a little bit about that game. obviously, for me, Barcelona play Barcelona way, and they're never really going to change that style of play. What do Chelsea have to do differently in this fixture in order to go one step further and get to the Champions League final this year?
Well, I think this is the year that they have the best chance to do it, to be honest, just with the two teams, how they're coming into the game. I think Chelsea will look back at their previous games they played against Barca. And, you know, the 1-1 draw over in Barcelona, I think, is a great game for them to focus on. They did sit back. They were quite compact. But to be quite honest, it's the wide play from Barca that they need to be careful about, and also the wide play that Chelsea need to get better at.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to be, I think, the theme of the game. Barca like to play central to play out. So Chelsea need to decide whether they're going to try and stop that ball into the middle, into the Kira Walsh, into the Cajaro. And if they can't stop that, then they need to be very good out in the wide areas. Mm. And every time Chelsea have played Barca, they've been destroyed.
Dominated in wide areas. Yeah. And that's why I'm really looking forward to the matchup between Charles and Hansen, because obviously we saw the final a few years ago now, wasn't it? And Chelsea
2019, got battered. They were destroyed 4-0, in the wide areas.
And really early on in that game.
It was Jess Carter in 2019 and she was just not quick enough.
Yeah.
Charles is quick enough.
But she was naive last year, wasn't she?
Yeah, she wasn't naive. This year she's better.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very interesting. I don't think Hansen is going to get as much joy as she's got before, but you still have to double up out there. You're going to have to get your centre halves out to help your fullbacks.
So you mentioned out of possession, obviously, you know, Chelsea, I think Chelsea are better now than they've been in previous years of actually playing without the ball. I used to think they struggled when they didn't have the ball to stay in games. I actually think they've really improved that, and their transition has improved. But in possession, how important is it? And who are the key players for Chelsea when they have the ball? And what style do you expect Emma Hayes, I know she's a friend of yours, to adopt in these two games? They play Barca alone first, away in the first leg. I actually think that plays a little bit in their favour. Mm-hmm. But they're yet to beat Barcelona in any of the fixtures they've played against them.
Yeah, I mean,
does that play on your mind as a player?
Not really, because nobody's beaten Barcelona, so I'd be we're the closest ones. So.
But in any of the legs, I mean, so they get a draw last year away, don't they? But I'm saying in any of the legs or in the final, they're yet to beat Barcelona.
Do you know what? It wouldn't bother me, because I'd be looking at Barca this season and I'd be like, we can beat them.
Mm.
Just because they've got weaknesses, whereas they didn't have any weaknesses before. Yeah. They're also in a team that's, you know, they're a little bit disgruntled. Their manager's leaving, like Chelsea.
Yeah.
They have a couple of players who feel they could be playing. That's maybe upsetting a little bit in the dressing room. Mm. You know, I think Mappy Leon being out is a huge, huge loss. A double whammy, because not only is she, for me, the best defender in the world, you've got Engen, who's a makeshift centre-back who I think is struggling a little bit.
I think she's fine with the ball. She's fine with the ball. It's just without the ball. I felt like her positioning.
Exactly.
She gets too involved and wants to step in too much. And as you mentioned, it can be punished.
Also, you've got fullbacks who are extremely good getting forward. It just depends on whether Chelsea want to play that way.
Yeah.
Let them bring them on, and then counter, which they've been very, very
and
good
that's
at.
What I think that's what I was going to say, because I think you know those transition moments, I feel like if Chelsea are to beat this Barcelona team, it will be in their moments that they win the game. In those transitions, they have to be compact, they have to be, you know, in terms of distances between the lines, don't allow Barca players to get in between them and then hurt them on the transition. But it's got to be fast. It's got to be done with speed.
Oh, there's so much to go.
Or do you go toe to toe? Do you think going toe to toe with a Barcelona team?
No.
You know, is there a team good enough to do that?
They're so good in 1v1 situations. I don't think they should go player-player. But they have to be very careful. Chelsea have to be excellent out of possession. And if you're going to play James and Nuskin, the problem is Barca will find those balls into those central areas. Because James, she's so good, she's world-class, but she does struggle with the other side of the game, defensively.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. If they're going to play counter-attack and style football, and if they can get James on the ball, brilliant. I don't think they'll be able to do that. I think Barca are going
to
cut that out.
I think they're going to press high.
I think they're going to push their defenders high. So it's about that ball in behind just a couple of times, just to try and stretch it. As I said, do they have a player that can run in behind? If they're going to play Nuskin, will they have it with Ramirez? So who do they play?
Combination do they play, yeah.
There are weaknesses at Barca, definitely. Mm. Emma Hayes has said to me, she knows how to beat them now.
Now it's about execution. And we all trust that Emma definitely can come up with game plans to beat them. As I said, they're yet to do it, but it's a game that I really look forward to. And obviously, I do believe Chelsea are getting closer to being better in Europe. Maybe going on to win
I
it.
Agree.
But Barca, as you say, are a team that are difficult.
But Barca, you don't want to... I think it should be played down because you don't want to upset Barca. And the players, they're so competitive.
Yeah, they are.
Like, even the build-up, I can feel like they're like, okay, you got close. We're going to punish you for even getting close to us in that season. So you just don't know.
And obviously Chelsea are on for the quadruple. They have a final coming up at the weekend, and then they've obviously got that home and away fixture in the semi-final. They're sitting top of the league in WSL, and they're in the semi-final of the FA Cup. So yeah, it's a big season for Emma Hayes and the Chelsea team. But Lyon PSG, an all French semi-final there. How do you see that game playing out? For me, it's a difficult one to call, but I just, in my opinion, think Lyon have just that little bit more than what PSG
do. I agree with you. I agree. And, looking at the results, previous results, it's always been very, very tight. They nearly cancel each other out. I think it's about the team that's going to go, right, I'm going to play my way. Yeah. And we're going to go out and we're going to be on the front foot. Every time I've watched them play each other, they're very apprehensive of each other, and it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a dead game when they play each other. And I think that it's going to be the team that's going to take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I think that will be Lyon.
Yeah.
They have that little bit that, they want it so bad. I think their players, again, are hitting the right form. And I think, I think that front line is just absolutely...
Oh, it's good.
It's sick.
It's good. And they're not being spoken about. Everyone's talking this year about Chelsea and Barcelona, and no one's really mentioned Lyon, and they've won the Champions League
they're
the most amount of times, and I think they've been really good. But over these two fixtures, Lyon have beat PSG 12 times, they've drawn 3 times, and PSG have only won 3 out of those. So it will be a difficult one for PSG. But again, another semi-final. I think both of these semi-finals will be difficult to call. But there could be a potential final. I'm going to put it out there between Lyon and Chelsea. And obviously, it's been rumoured that the Lyon manager, Van Pasta, she might be taking over the Chelsea job at the end of the season. So that will be an interesting final if that is to happen. But that pretty much rounds up our quarterfinal, and really looking forward to the semi-finals. But we have a few fans' questions.
These always make me nervous. I'm like, are we filtering these questions?
And it said, which player surprised you most in the knockout stages?
There's been a few, to be honest. Well, we spoke about the brand player Gaupset.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. we've both talked about her, haven't we? She's been a very good player. But then I'd look at Benfica. I mean, Benfica we talked about Kike Nazareth. She's been excellent. I think Araujo at the back has been very, very good. I think the German keeper for Benfica, what's her name? Powles has been very, very good. I'm going to look at keepers, obviously. But yeah, I think there's been a handful of Benfica players.
I like that the brand centre mid, she's only a young kid. I don't know how you pronounce her name. Not Erklund. I don't know. It's Kirkland, is it? Something like that. I think it's Kirkland. I'll say that. And if I get it wrong, I apologise. But The holding mid, the little one, she's 21 years of age. She's only had one senior call up for Norway. But actually, in that fixture against Barcelona, I think she held her own in that midfield against a very dominant Barcelona mid.
Yeah.
So I thought she's certainly, in my opinion, one to look out for moving forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Another question, are there any young players in the Champions League that you think clubs will be after in the summer? Well, there you go, Kirkland, is that how you pronounce it? Or Kirkland? She's one that
Keelan's
I would
definitely
Gaupset is definitely another one.
I can't say Nazareth has been young, sorry,
but I think those two out of if I was to think of two players that, especially because we know the Norwegian league isn't the strongest of leagues in Europe, they're two players that I'm sure will have been looked at by some of the bigger teams around Europe. And
Alidou, the Canadian for Benfica, has been excellent as well. Yeah, there's
centre forward. So there's
the platform.
Yeah, and I think they've certainly put themselves out there. So this is for you, and I don't have a song, so I'm going to put it to you. Going into a big, and you know, you've been in Champions League final, so I'll give the question to you. Going into a big UEFA Champions League game, what would be your number one song to hype you up beforehand? Don't come out with an Irish song.
Let me think. Do you know what? I'm the worst person to ask because I actually don't like music.
I'm the same.
Like silence.
I'm the exact same. It's so funny.
It's funny. Like
maybe, that's why I gave you the question, because yeah, I don't listen to music.
I don't listen to music. I don't like it. I like to be in my zone. It's funny because I remember going into the Champions League final, and Emma Hayes was our assistant at the time. And she said to me, she was like, "Are you all right, Bernie?" And I was like, "Yeah, why?" She's like, "You're very quiet. You haven't spoken. You're doing nothing. You're just sitting there with no headphones on." And I was like, "That's the way I like it. I don't like any music."
I'm exactly.
And then
same.
In the dressing room, when they're blaring it, I'm like, I want
to
get out.
I always said, you know what? You were at Arsenal when I was there, when I never used to go in the changing room until like 5 minutes before. I hated music. I hated people bouncing around me.
Oh, yeah.
Leave me alone and let me just chill.
Leave me alone.
And that was the type of character I was when I played anyway. Yeah. But thank you for your questions. We'll be back in a few weeks now. So the first leg takes place over the 20th and 21st of April. And the second leg takes place on the 27th and 28th of April. So we will be back then for a roundup of the semi-finals. But thank you for listening to BBB with myself, Farrah Williams, and Emma Byrne, supported by Pepsi Max.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.